A lot of people know this verse in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We love telling people what we want, right? Christmas time comes around when you were a kid and you got to look through the Sears catalog or the Best catalog or whatever. It was around here and you'd look through it and you'd make your little list and give it to your parents, right? It's awesome to ask for things and get them. It's even nicer when you're an adult and you go out on Amazon now, right? And you're just like, this and this, I want one of these. And then you put it in the cart and the next thing you know, it's at your door, right? You didn't have to go anywhere. This is great to be able to want something and then have it delivered. Or to want something and to get something. So we like verses like this. Let your requests be known to God. So we get to tell God what we want. But what about verses like this? Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, talking about Jesus, he said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. All right, how we make our wishes and thoughts known to God is in prayer. So if I go to God and tell him what it is that I want, why would somebody have to teach me how to pray? You ever thought about that? Right? How does somebody tell you what you want to ask God for? But John did it. When we back up in Scripture, John taught his disciples. It wasn't something that Jesus just did. Right? We go to this Luke passage, and when you continue on, it's what people refer to as the Lord's Prayer. But he was teaching us how to pray. He was teaching where our focus should be. Right? Because when we read Philippians, we think that the focus is supposed to be about us. But if you understand Philippians, Paul wrote that while in jail, and he wanted to get out. He wanted to win the world for Christ. He wanted to turn the world on its ear. He wanted to have the Jews come in. He wanted the Gentiles coming in. He wanted all of this stuff going on. And God said, be patient. Be patient. It took all this time for Christ to come, and you want to take this and accomplish what it took all these years for people to realize and the people to come and understand. You want to accomplish it in a day. But we like to tell God what we want, don't we? So if prayer is simply making our wishes known to God, then no one would have to teach us how to pray. But why did they ask Jesus about prayer? Is it only because John was teaching them to pray? Well, if you notice that he says, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, and when he had ceased, they come to him. Right? They saw that he prayed a lot. They saw that this was a way that he interacted with God in a way that they did not. And so they wanted to know how to do this. And they were concerned about how they approached God. And you know why they were concerned about how they approached God? Because they understood that when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, it went in behind the curtain, and he approached God for the sin of Israel to be rolled back, for the forgiveness of the promise of the Redeemer to come, that was serious business. See, only the high priest could go in there. No one else could. So they understood the reverence that it took to come to God in prayer. And so they looked at this and they said, teach us how to do this. Do we think we need somebody to teach us how to pray? My answer to that probably would be no. I would think that I would know how to pray. But of all the things that I feel like I know how to do, prayer is not on that list. You know why? Because I'm not exactly sure what God's plan is for you. I don't know how to pray for you. I mean, I can look and I can start checking off boxes and narrowing things down and looking at things that you need or that you don't have or that would be nice for you to have or that would be helpful in your life to uplift you from the place that you are, but I don't know God's plan for you. But when we pray God's will, I think the stuff that we're asking for a lot of times is stuff that we still want. We ask for God's will, but then we ask for stuff that we want. So how does God work this out? Right? He says, make your request known to God. So what do you ask for? Right? We ask for certain things. We prayed this morning, right? We prayed for people. We prayed for healing. We prayed for understanding. We prayed for strength. And all of these things are good things. But was it good when the strength of Jesus failed and He fell and when He was carrying the cross and the whole world saw it? Right? I'm just saying, when we pray for things, these people watched Jesus pray. John even had to show people who were under the Old Testament who went in, he was having to show them how to pray. The reason they asked Jesus is because they saw him praying all the time. They saw him doing it often. And if prayer is all about the things we want, things on our heart, why was this question asked? And so I look at the way that I pray, because I don't know how you pray, right? I don't know what you pray for. Right, I would assume that you pray for similar things, but I looked at the way that I pray, that I was taught to pray, that I've always heard people pray. Can we just simply recite the Lord's Prayer, what we call in Luke? Do you know it verbatim, you know? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? And so there's reverence there from the very beginning. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this Lord our daily bread. Our prayers go way beyond that. They do. We get into people's lives. We pray for strength and specific needs. And all that stuff is good. But these people saw that Jesus prayed for something different. And they looked at themselves and they looked at Him and they said, teach us how to pray. And so, of all the things that I feel comfortable in, talking about prayer and understanding prayer is something that is very difficult for me, and it's always been difficult for me, right? People get new preachers because they get tired of hearing the same old stories, right? They want new stories, so they get new preachers so they can hear new stories. I've said this several times about prayer. 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 11. For we did not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Understand one thing. God his focus is to get you to grow. His focus is to get you to understand. His focus is to get you to see by His light, not by your lamp, okay? His focus is always teaching you something. Always. That's what Jesus came to do, to teach. They wanted to know how to pray, so He taught them how to pray. John taught them how to pray. We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. So this is the apostles talking to the church at Corinth, right? That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. They were letting them know what was going on. They were letting them know that they were pushing themselves to the very limit. Right? I feel like I push myself to the very limit to get up and just get dressed to go to work on Monday mornings, right? Because Mondays are the worst for me. And I really feel like, look what they did. Look at my feeling, look what they did, right? It's silly. That they despaired even of life. Have I ever pushed myself that much? Have I ever pushed myself that much for God? Have I ever put that much trust in myself for God? Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. They knew that by their actions, they were going to come to a place where someone was going to kill them because they were going against and tackling everything that the world stood for. They knew that they were going to die. How did they know they were going to die? Jesus died. They were doing what He was doing. And if they killed their leader, their Lord and Savior, they knew that if they walked that path, they were also going to die. Sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. My heavens, we're at work and they tell us to shut the Bible, take it off our desk, or we're going to get fired. And you know what we do? Shut the Bible, take it off our desk, because we don't want to get fired. Because we've got a house payment to make, right? And it's expensive. We got a car payment to make. We just bought a new car. We got a kid that's in football. Expensive. Got a daughter in college. Expensive. Right? Going to the grocery store anymore is expensive. We need that job. But these apostles, they pushed themselves forward, defying the world to take their life. Because they said, I do not fear you. You take my life, God will give it back to me. Verse 10, and they even said, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us. He says, what does he mean by he said who delivered us from so great a death? Talking about the death that Christ died, that they delivered them, they redeemed them. He said he's already delivered us from this death. He's already delivered us from the pain of this death. And he says, and he continues to deliver us. Each day that we walk, we run the risk of physical death. We run the risk of torture. We run the risk of starvation. We run the risk of not going to sleep, of being deprived of all these things. And we do it because he continues to deliver us, because we still see the next day. In whom we trust that He still will deliver us. They're talking about tomorrow. They say, we're going to do the same thing tomorrow. Verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us. And that's where I was getting to. And you're like, oh, thank goodness. That thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted us through many. How do you think the church prayed for these apostles? What would be the first thing that you would pray for in this instance? Now, don't look at what you should pray for. I'm asking you, what is the first thing that you would probably pray for? Strength, right? Peace, strength. I want us to look at something. I want to look at our prayers. And I think these are pretty reasonable things, okay? One of the things that we pray for each other, is safety. Because we live in a lost and dying world. We live in a hateful world. People will kill you for the shoes on your feet. Or just for the thrill of it. They don't need anything from you. You're in their way and they're going to push you out. So we pray for safety. That's a good thing to pray for, because when you go to bed at night, don't you want to be safe? When your children go off and they're out just having a good time laughing and bowling and at a ball game and stuff, don't you want them to have fun? Right? Of course we do. So we pray for safety. Prosperity. Nothing wrong with prosperity. Can't live off me forever, right? You got to get out and do something. Oh, you got to go. You got to go to work. I got to go to work. You're going to work. I'm not going to go to work, come home, look at the bottom of your feet. Right? You got to get the job. We all need prosperity because we all have to move forward. We all have to learn. We all have to pay our own way. I mean, we help each other, right? But you can't live off me, because that's not going to teach you anything. Prosperity. We pray for prosperity. How about peace? I I get my wife so mad sometimes, she'll just follow me around the house, right? I try to go outside, she comes out there. I go to the bedroom, shut the door, she opens it up. Right? She knows I got nowhere to go. All right? Peace. You know, in those times, I would almost give anything for just to leave me alone for a minute, right? Peace. We understand that? When our boss just will not get off our back. Peace. When you got so many things going on in life, you just need a minute, just peace. Just so you won't fall apart. You feel like razor blades are running through your head. You feel like you've just drank bleach. You feel like you're on fire. And you just need a minute. Just give me a minute, will you? Just stop for just a second. Right? Doesn't happen. The world will not let up. My wife's mad. She's not going to let up. You ever stop to think that maybe I need that, right? No, we don't think that. Not that instance. This is how God works. How about advancement? We don't want people to stay in the same place that they are, right? We want them to move forward. We want them to mature. We want them to for the student to become the teacher. We want for the child to become the father or the mother. We want people to mature because it's necessary, because it's like going to a funeral. The child, right? I don't want to go. I don't like going to funerals. You know? You think I do? Never enters their mind. Total difference day and night when you mature. Most of the stuff you do, you don't want to do. You just don't want to do it. And when you get a chance to do something you want, you know what you do? You sit on the front porch in your rocking chair, chewing your tobacco, and just, that's it. You don't want to be bothered. Watching the sunset. What are you doing? You see all these old people sitting on the front porch and they just look content. They're just sitting there and they're just staring off into space. Now you know why, right? Because we're starting to understand that they have a moment of peace. We'll never understand that until we mature. Healings. When people get sick, we don't want to see people sick. When I was in the hospital, y'all were praying for my recovery because I was sick. You wanted me to get better. You get sick, we pray for you. We want you to get better. See, all these things are good things that we pray for. But we don't want to hear that God says, there's a sin that leads to death, and I do not ask that you pray for that. The body dies. The body gets old. The body wears out. And we're praying for healing. Do we expect God to answer our prayers? Of course we do. But isn't there a time when the peace is taken away? Isn't there a time when the sicknesses don't go away? Like the movie Jaws and Quint's telling the story about, he said, sometimes the shark go away and sometimes they don't. Right? Beat on them and kick on them. Sometimes they go away and sometimes they wouldn't. So these are decent things to pray for. But I want us to see something. When we pray for safety, guess what happens? There's accidents that happen. There's things that take away that safety. Isn't there? So what, God didn't hear you? God didn't answer your prayer? He dangled a little carrot in front of you, said, you pray to me, ask me what you want, and then things aren't going the way I want, God, here. I don't quite understand this. I was driving home one night from a job, and it was like 2 in the morning, and I listened to the radio, and this lady was talking about, see, here's another one of these stories that I've said before. If you had somebody different, you'd get a new story, right? But so I'm driving home, and this lady is on there on this call in to this Christian radio station or whatever it was, and she said, you know, I asked God for a man in my life, a good man in my life. And she said, I don't know whether if there was some miscommunication. I don't know if God didn't understand what I was asking for, but evidently she didn't get the good man that she was looking for, right? And she thought that God didn't quite understand. And so when we pray for safety and something happens, do we think that God wasn't listening to us? How do you deal with this? You're praying for people that you care about. You're praying for things that are good. Prosperity, and yet we see loss. You work your whole life to have something, and then somebody bless you. Somebody comes and takes it away. God doesn't care about your prosperity. He doesn't care about your financial independence, right? Kids move back in. Sometimes the parents move in with the kids. It's not such a shame. Prior to what we have now, families lived together and they had these huge houses where generations lived in the same house. A man could go out and get a job as a garbage man, right? Come home and provide for his family of two or three kids and a wife. We weren't happy with that. So the woman said, I'm not going to do this anymore. So you go out and now you have to go out and work. So now one person can't provide for the family. It takes two. Well, if it takes two, who's going to raise the kids? The world is raising the kids. And that's where we're at. That was a loss. That's not prosperity. That just gave more money to the government. You got two people working, two incomes now. You think maybe they whispered in your ear that you're better than this? Get out. Come on. You're not being created equal. Come on. Get out. Get out there and show them what you can do. Make us some more money. Take away from your family. God knew better. He didn't set it up that way. But we don't care what God wants, right? We're going to pray for prosperity in this wicked world. There's days of prosperity and there's days of loss. How about we ask for peace and all we see in people's lives is frustration? That's a tough one. We look for advancement. We look for maturity and all we see is trouble coming to their life. We ask for healings and we see death. How does God sort all this out? I'm telling you that when you read the prayer, when Jesus taught people how to pray, He wasn't teaching you what words to say. He was talking about where your focus should be. First, on where the power of life comes from. And that God holds that key to life. Give us this day our daily bread. He is the one that redeemed you from the pit. Our focus is on these things. And when we don't have, when we pray for safety and accidents happen, we pray for healings and death occurs, we're creating stress and anxiety for ourselves. Is God going to, man, how's this going to work out? Is God going to do this? This needs to happen. This just needs to happen. Why isn't this going the right way? And there's an answer to this. Because, I mean, we're asking for things in a fallen world. That's like me asking going to work and that I don't come home dirty. That doesn't happen. I leave rocks and little pieces of mud that dried off on my boots in the kitchen going to the little place where I sit to get changed in the foyer or whatever, and Melissa sweeps it up and she said, I cleaned up after you this morning, right? What'd you expect? You know where I work? I'll tell you 100 times, right? It's nothing but a mud pit there. And when it's not muddy, guess what? So dusty you can't even hardly see 100 feet in front of you. Sometimes. Sometimes it's nice. It's a gentle breeze. Rare. But when we ask for these things and these things don't happen, we put ourselves under stress and anxiety because we're only focused on the temporary outcomes. That's what we're looking for. Healings. I made it out of the hospital because people prayed for me. I made it out of the hospital because God allowed that. And you think, well, I don't know about all that. So your prayers don't do any good? You don't think that if you stop praying for people, that God would stop working? There's going to be a day when He says, I've had enough with everybody, and He's coming back. So either our prayers are effective or they're not. But when we ask Jesus, and John showed his disciples how to pray, it was the focus on our prayers. The focus has to be Him. And for all of our prayers that we have, that we spend our time on, we put ourselves under stress and anxiety because we're only focused on temporary outcomes. Lord, just help them to get through this. Help them to get through this. They don't come to church. They don't care about you, but just help them to get through this. Why would you ask that? Is that how the apostles prayed for people? And then, see, that's difficult, right? I don't know where to start. I don't have an answer in that situation. God, get involved in their life. Well, you know who got involved in their life? The apostles did, and they faced death because of it. And what do we do? I don't know. What do? Our focus of our prayers needs to be about the kingdom, about the blood of Christ, about the redemption of this world, and understanding that not everyone is going to just go to heaven. But if we do it our way, we take the Bible and we're beating them over the head with it. It's not how God teaches us. Did you learn by someone telling you, or did you learn because you saw the right way? We learn different ways. It doesn't change what we learn, it just changes how we learn. Our focus should always be on God's kingdom moving forward. But we're focused on people moving forward. And that's just where I'm at with that. I don't know how to get past that part of it. Genesis 3:6. And you know, when we spend time, take that off so you don't read it. When we spend time doing studies, and we've spent a lot here on Genesis on Sunday mornings, and Larry and I have spent a lot of time talking about different things. When I meditate and I look for lessons, you know, things keep popping up because they keep tying themselves in together, you know? And so we've talked about this a little bit on Sunday mornings. But it shows me in Genesis 3:6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. We live in a world now where people tell you that whatever you want is okay. They don't have boundaries between men and women. They don't have boundaries between life and death, truth and a lie. They've erased all these boundaries, and they're teaching them to our children. They're teaching them to our children. We're sending them off and we're hoping that they're going to be strong Christians like we see in the Bible. All I want to say is that we have to be very careful about the things that we desire. We have to be very careful about the things that we want out of life for other people and directions. We have to be very careful about these things. Because this is what caused her to fall. It's what caused sin to come into this world. A desire that we had that we let take control of us. There are a lot of people that pray for things. There are a lot of people that see things. There are a lot of people that want things. And when God doesn't give them to them, they think that they have failed God or God has failed them. We don't see things the way that God sees them. If we did, when she looked at that tree, she would have realized that this was something that she needed to stay away from. Now, we teach our kids, right, to stay away from certain things. God is showing us the same things. In our prayers, we have to understand the difference between a temporary outcome and an eternal outcome. And I'm struggling to make that transition. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to pray for you eternally. I know how to pray for you temporarily, right? Because we talk and there's needs that we have and there's things that we struggle with and there's pain that we go through. There's loss. But to pray eternally, you could just map out a prayer. You know, God, just take care of them. Let your will be done in their life. Is that all we're supposed to do? I care. I think about y'all, and I care. And as a congregation, I know that y'all care about me, right? I know that y'all pray for me. And I pray for you. But in all these things that we're doing, our focus should be on understanding God better, growing closer. And you know how that got accomplished? It cost people their lives. Now, I'm not talking about their physical life, right? I'm talking about they committed what they had to God. You even went over that this morning, you know, the signing your house and all that stuff over. They did that in the early church. You know why they did that? Because they thought Christ was coming back tomorrow. And they wanted nothing to stand in their way. God doesn't want your house. What He wants is that kind of dedication. And if we learn to pray with that kind of dedication, that your will be done, not mine, then don't expect to get the things that you want out of prayer. And don't expect that the prayers that you start off with is going to be the prayers that you're going to grow into. God is always showing us. You would have thought that on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up, the things that he said, you would have thought that these people would have known, right? But those people that were under the law, those people that were under the Old Testament, those people that should have known these things, John had to show them how to pray. That gives me encouragement because I know that I'm not always I'm not just the only dumb one, right? It gives me encouragement. Because if I'm struggling with this, so the day, to the point where we see two times that John, the forerunner of Christ and Christ Himself, both of them watched them and they came to them and said, "Show me how to pray." And if the Lord's prayer brought about a conversion in the heart, if the Lord's prayer was the only thing that we needed, that would have been included in the gospel sermon, wouldn't it? A lot of people hold that prayer and they'll say it verbatim, and I just wonder if they're actually listening to the words. Because they can quote that and they can quote John 3:16, but then they read Acts 2:38 when they said, "What shall we do if we've killed Christ?" They didn't say the Lord's Prayer, right? They didn't say, "Just believe in Jesus. It's okay. He came to save you." They told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you. And He said that this was not just for you, but as many as the Lord God shall call, as many as are far off. And we're told that the Gentiles were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and we were afar off. He was talking about the whole world coming to Christ. And this is how they did it, baptized into one body. We're not baptized into the nation of Israel. We're baptized in the name of Christ. They look at the confession that Peter made, and he says, I tell you, Peter, you're a rock. It's not what he said. He said, I tell you, Peter, that the confession, that was the rock. We don't confess Peter as our Savior, do we? We confess Christ as our Savior. People have taken all of this and they've blown it all out of proportion. And God's made it very plain. We're either going to trust God or we're not going to trust God. How do you look and see when He says, repent and be baptized, that you say, well, all I got to do is believe? Well, why didn't they just say that? 3,000 souls were added to them. To who? The nation of Israel? No, to the church. And so if that's how the first people come in, don't you think that's how the last people are going to come in? Yes. This is the message that got the apostles killed. The message of life. The message of forgiveness. We all have to make a decision in life, and the apostles kept pushing the envelope, kept pushing forward to the point where somebody said, if you take one more step, you're going to die. And they said, Christ is worth it. Right? I think prayer helps us take our will and bring God's will and make it work in our life. I think prayer is something that we learn to accept God's will over our own. And that's why he tells us, you make it known. You talk to me. And he said, I'll help you work these things out. Is he God enough to do that? Sure he is. But you have to learn to trust in him. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?